Welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch. Evan isn't here today because they were canceled. So it's just me and our lovely guest, Rylan.
I'm not going to talk. If I'm not here, then I'm not going to talk.
Okay, well, we're so excited
Can you intro me?
No, I have nothing left to say to you.
You haven't even been home for 24 hours.
So today we're covering season 1, episode 9 of Girls, Leave Me Alone.
Because Amelia just came back from Texas and the energy is so scary in the studio
today. Yeah, if you can hear through your ears the energy in the studio being off, I did go to my home state of Texas for 5 days to babysit my sister who's 11, and it did chemically alter my brain.
It's like Canyon Ranch, but like in the opposite way.
What? Cactus Ranch is Canyon the name Ranch? Of my elementary school.
Canyon Ranch?
Cactus Ranch.
I just assume everyone that listens to this podcast also like knows a lot about goop.
Goop?
Like poo?
No one knows about it. Yeah, like poo.
Like the...
Like okay, Gwyneth? This is hell. Yeah. So it's Gwyneth Paltrow's brand, Goop. I actually watched a Call Her Daddy episode today of Gwyneth Paltrow and Alex, whatever.
She so stopped eating, say. Right?
No, the whole episode is like her talking if she's going to fuck Brad Pitt or Ben. Or like when she did, who's better in bed.
They really go Gwyneth there. Paltrow. They really go there on Call Her Daddy.
I'm surprised she did that. I love her.
Right?
Gwyneth?
I love her.
Or Alex? Or both?
Both.
No, blonde women like having a lot of fun on the internet is, I mean, it's the Alex Earl effect. Like, we all really like a skinny blonde woman who's like, I don't know, saying the most generic thing ever, but happy.
Yeah. Kind of chaotic. I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
This week we have on Rylan Mills, kind of a girl's super fan and also a rising comedian superstar, currently going viral, I'd argue. And we're so excited for you to be here. Welcome, yes, Rylan. Yes,
thanks. I am so happy to be here. And yeah, my manager reached out and let me know that you guys wanted to meet with me. Mm-hmm. So happy I can squeeze this in.
Why is that everyone's reaction?
Did you watch
it
when it first came out?
No, I watched it a few years later, and if I'm being honest, when I first started watching, I didn't really know any of the people. I didn't know any of
like,
the cast.
Look at this show a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah,
I mean, it was kind of when it came out, though.
Yeah,
and then midway through, I started Googling and like learning and stuff like that. But yeah, I watched it, and then I don't know, like a year or two later, I was like, I need to rewatch it. Yeah. I need to like understand it a little bit more, because at first I was like, I liked it, but I didn't like love it.
Totally.
Yeah.
I definitely, like, rewatching it, I'm like, I was so young when I first watched it.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything. And I still don't, but...
It was kind of how you felt about Broad City.
Yeah.
I like when you talk about Broad City. I felt the same way about Girls. I was like, you know, I kind of want to move to New York. Like, this is crazy. These fucking white girls are living.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amelia's... For listeners, I don't know, Amelia has a lot of comedy based around her moving to New York City because she watched the show Broad City. And
I'd literally
like
be
characters.
A devout Christian in Texas still if it wasn't for
two zany
Jews. Yeah, telling me I could actually live in a city instead.
That's crazy.
That's what Girls did for you. You're from like Nebraska, right?
I'm from Nebraska, yeah. So I remember watching it and being like,
are you like from Farmcore or something
else? No. I'm from Omaha.
Oh, I've been there for Thespian National Convention.
Wait, you were a thespian?
True, 3543.
I was a thespian too.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm out of the loop. What is this?
Thespis was the original actor, I think.
Yeah, something like
in,
that.
In like in the Globe Theater in that one country.
England.
London. It's like
Shakespeare
Corps.
Correct us if I'm wrong, because I really don't know. But I just knew I wanted my fucking pin.
Well, thespian's a term for actor. But is it also the first actor?
Thespian is like it's basically just drama club, but like with a national recognition.
Oh, and then you went to Nebraska for drama club. Is the musical Nebraska based off this event?
No. But going there was crazy because...
That was a joke.
We're going so far off track. So you grew
up in Omaha?
Yes.
And then you saw HBO Girls a few years after it came out and said, New York sounds... Cool.
Yes. Actually, I was going to college in Tennessee when I watched it.
You went to college in Tennessee?
I did, yeah.
I'm like, you're in the circuit.
You're Dolly Parton, you're country girl.
No, wait, was literally.
It Nashville or like?
So I went to college in Chattanooga after school.
That's a song.
Is it?
Yeah, Chattanooga. Choo-choo.
Oh, the Chattanooga, yeah, that is a thing. Because there's like a train or something.
A train, the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I think we gotta do a damn Southern accent this whole episode.
I don't know if I could do a Southern accent.
It's crazy, you live in places they write music and musicals about.
No, and I always have, yeah.
In New York they do that. Nebraska, the musical, Chattanooga, a song.
I've never seen Nebraska, the musical.
I never even heard of it.
I never heard of it either.
Isn't that a movie with an old woman who got nominated for a
Golden Globe? Yeah, I thought it was like a scary movie or something. Like,
yeah. Isn't it called Nebraska?
You mean Oklahoma?
Oh.
See. I'm like, no, you said it twice and I was like, I've never heard of Nebraska, the musical.
All the Midwest is the same to me.
Yeah,
no, that's not so wrong. Problematic.
Wait, so you were in Tennessee and you were like, hi.
Yeah, so I had like came to New York for spring break, but I only like went to Manhattan. Like, I never visited anything else. And I was like, okay, I liked it. And I like knew things about New York, but I only knew like Gossip Girl. So I was like, I want to watch more shows based in New York. And I literally think I Googled shows based in New York and Girls was one of them.
No.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And I just was like, I want to see. And then,
did you walk Sex and the City?
I didn't get into Sex and the City until like a year or two after I started Girls. Yeah, I started everything so late.
To watch Girls before Sex and the City is such a unique gift of an experience, I'd say.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy because
most people watch Sex and the City first.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're right. It's so crazy.
It was very unique. Sorry. It was very different.
Like, I gotta listen to one woman today. I'm distracted.
This podcast is all about you, like, suddenly tuning into the conversation.
I'm just reiterating a point.
And you're like, wait, you're a girl and you had a thought. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Wait, amazing. And now you've just been rewatching nonstop?
Yeah, so I watched it then and then I kind of like... I don't know. I don't know why I started it again, but I was feeling different. Like, I wanted to understand more. Also, like, knew a lot more about Lena Dunham. So I was like, I want to watch.
How did you learn more about her?
Honestly, just Googling. As I was watching the show, I was like tweeting about it the first time.
Everything is Google with you.
No, this is huge. Because
all you have is Google, it sounds like.
I'm a huge Googler too. Yeah. And so to find out Googlers. Other people are Googling, to meet a fellow Googler, one that's avid as me, it just feels like finally I have community.
I'm kind of annoying about it. Like, have you ever been on a date and they say something and you're like, oh my God, I have to Google that? I'm like trying to force myself not to do that anymore because people hate that.
Well, I think it's interesting because before the term of influencer, there's the term Instagrammer.
Yeah.
And now before there's ChatGPT, there was Googlers.
I don't chat. Whoa. What is it, chat?
That can't be right.
That was shocking to
You ate that.
That was shocking to bear witness to.
You ate that.
I'm shrugging. I'm like, yeah, it's easy. Off the cuff.
I still don't know about ChatGPT. I just know that's something you're really passionate about.
I have to get it. I've never heard of it
until
today.
It's like AI... Chatbot,
you didn't hear about it until today.
This is my
You've
first
heard of
time.
AI before?
I've heard of AI. Artificial I know they're like helping people write papers, not to expose anyone, but that's what I heard.
Everyone knows in the world. Not to expose anyone, this information that everyone knows on Earth.
No, I'm
like Google. It's like, not. I gotta bring you into this thing. It's called Google. You can look up anything on there.
I watch girls and Google things. I don't know anybody.
And so you learned a lot about Lena on Google and was like, I need to revisit this show.
That's a GG.
Well, it made me want to revisit it because after I learned more about her, like, I have theories and I like... As I was watching,
you have theories.
I have so many theories. I'm thinking about Judd Apatow. I'm thinking about the actors on the show.
Well, your whole Twitter is kind of dedicated to girls' theories.
No, it is, and I literally am like,
we're just desperate for Amelia and I.
It's amazing. It's interesting because I'm like, you would be lying if you said the writing was awful. The writing is great on the show.
People are so 100%. Mad about the show, and you're like, okay, but. It's also really good.
It's so good. Do I want more diversity on the show? Of course. But, like, it is what it is. So I kind of watched it the second time without that lens of, like, she's an awful person. She did terrible things. I don't really care for her. And I just watched it as, like, a show of actors and not thinking about, like, who they were outside of that.
Totally.
So it made me enjoy it more. And it's crazy because I always was just like, I hate Hannah. Like, I would never... be like her, but this time watching it without thinking like Lena Dunham, Hannah, I just was like, oh, okay.
You have such a Hannah. Similar take. Donald Glover has the same take, where Donald Glover is like, yeah, Lena's always dropping the N-word. So crazy that one black character is Republican. Lena Dunham's an amazing writer.
Yeah.
That's literally, that's what their take is.
Oh, wow. I never knew Donald felt like that. He was one of the people that was on the show. I think he was like the first black character. And then we had Jessica Williams like a few seasons later.
Literally.
That's crazy that he thinks like that. I've always wondered what people from the show thought of her who did the show. And like Adam Driver has never spoken about her outside of like the show. And I like want to know what he thinks about her so
Google.
Bad.
You Googled
I have Googled. And I'm like, I just want to know what he thinks about her so bad. He would never go into too much detail.
Oh, that is going to be our Spotify question of the episode.
Yeah.
What do you think Adam Driver thinks of Lena Dunham?
No, I think this title should be like, we should say featuring Google instead of Ryland for this episode.
I do Google a lot.
Say her name. Okay, we're going to dive into the synopsis. Yes. Ryland, do you want to try and synopsize the episode?
Or I could try.
Okay, should we do popcorn?
Yeah, let's popcorn.
Let's popcorn it.
Okay. So this is what happens in season 1, episode 9, Leave Me Alone.
Yes. Okay, so it starts with the girls. They're at a book signing, a book release of Hannah's old college friend who Hannah doesn't even fucking like. So I don't even know what they were doing there. But she's being very much like, damn, I wish my boyfriend like died as well. So I had totally. a plot line.
Exactly.
Jenny Slate's wrote a book and it got a huge release and she has like an agent. Yeah. And so Hannah's like super comparing herself to it. And it's like her book's only big because it's about her boyfriend dying. And yeah. Hannah's like, I wish that happened to me so I'd have something to write about. And then Marnie's like, I'm actually having a good time. And then Shoshana's like, I've never been awake before. It's amazing to be out in public. And Jessa's like, I love drama.
No, literally.
And then the guy from The White Lotus, the dad.
It's
Hannah's old prof that's there because they both went to school together.
You say prof?
Yeah.
That's so cute.
It's like a thing.
Prof.
I never did that before.
Oh. Well, he was her prof. And so they talk and he's like, you should come to a book reading. Or like a essay reading live event.
Yeah.
Basically an open mic.
Yeah.
And Hannah's like, I don't do that. And he's like, well, you should. And she's like, okay. And then...
it was like a reading circle. Okay, then we cut to Shoshana and Jessa. And Shoshana's talking about how she wants to try online dating. Yeah. And then Jessa is talking to her old employer and...
Catherine Hahn.
Mm-hmm. And Jessa is like, I can't come back to work for you. And then Catherine Hahn is giving this really empowered speech about how she can see it from her shoes, what it is like being a 24-year-old and being confused and like how finding a passion can really define your existence. And then we go to the reading circle where Hannah is 10 minutes late and already apologizing and gets barrauded by the craziest questions by old people. And it's just like kind of leaving, feeling a little bit defeated, but also like excited by future prospects. Then we go to Hannah and Marnie's apartment where they have a big falling out. And at the end, there's agreeing to move out or Marnie moves out. Okay. Actually, I'm kind of impressed by myself.
Yeah, that was good. That was.
There's characters.
It was all of that.
I'm proud of you.
You ate that.
Let's jump into our first segment.
Let's do it.
Girl!
What girl are you?
Oh my God, okay. Okay, when I was in Nebraska, I will say I was more of a Marnie, unfortunately. Mm. It just was like, I knew I was different from everyone there. And I just knew I was like the girl, like the main character. Everything was about me all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I just had to grow out of that. And now I definitely will say I'm a Jessa. I mean
the hat itself.
I just like get her. Like I loved her in this episode. I think as far as episodes go, she was more chill in this episode.
Totally.
Compared to like what she typically is. And I just like that Jessa's kind of like going through life and life really be like life in for her, but she never makes it completely about her all the time. Like, she's just like, I don't know. She's just like, yeah, my life kind of sucks right now. And, like, she's going through so many things. But she's, I don't know. You never see her, like, in an environment where she's like, woe is me. And she's always talking about herself. She kind of just, like, deals with it. And I like that about her.
Totally.
And she just makes terrible decisions. Always. Like, all the time. And I just love it. So I'm definitely a Jessa kind of girl.
Can I say one thing? Your description in Nebraska being like, I'm the main character who wants to make things about myself. Yeah. I don't want to say it, but that really sounds like a Hannah.
I know. I really was trying to avoid that. When I was saying it, I was like, it is Hannah.
That was Hannah. And not to silence you. I don't want to silence you ever. Yeah. It's not my intention. Well, I just really don't want to silence you.
Hannah.
You're our first Jessa, though.
I know. I actually was really nervous about that because I've talked a lot about how much I like Jessa, and I've been dragged before about it. She would do something terrible, but in her mind know that it's bad. You know, like when you do something and you know, like, mm-hmm. and you're smart enough to be like, I should not be doing this. Like, this is not the decision that I should be making, but then you do it anyway.
Totally.
She's so real for that. I'm like, she knows. Because I feel like even her telling the woman that she wasn't going to come back and work for her was her being like, I know that if I come back and work for you, I'm going to do something crazy.
Absolutely.
As in,
absolutely.
Fuck your husband.
Or like even in the Bushwick scene when they're at the hospital and she's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, period.
Yeah. There's a moment with Jessa where she always realizes, like, when she reaches her limit. And she's like, I can't. Like, I'm over it now. Yeah. And then she moves on to the next chaotic thing. That's your life story? It is. Like, I just feel like sometimes I have done things where I'm like, even, like, in the moment of doing it, I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this right now. And I'm smarter than this. And this is my probably not going to have good results. But I'm going to do it anyway. And life is just going to have to life. And I'm going to have to figure it out. And she just always figures it out. And I like that about
her. Absolute.
As Amari, someone who doesn't do that. In this episode,
do you think you're Marnie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
You need to fight.
I want to know why.
Talk about you. You got to fight right now.
And the way that Marnie is like fed up at the end. Well, okay. The thing about Marnie is she puts so much pressure on herself to be a good friend. And it finally like comes out in this episode that she's so frustrated with Hannah because she feels like Hannah's not.
Yeah.
Me like holding herself to the same standards, and I feel like I've chilled out about this, but not that much. But like in college, I'd get so mad at people for not treating me the way I treated them, whereas like now I realize like people aren't gonna act the same way you do, and you have to like deal with that. But it's like Marnie's like Hannah, I'm being this for you, and you're not being it back, which makes you a bad friend. Like, her whole frustration with that, I really identify with. And
yeah.
her, like, trying to be like, oh, tell me how the reading went. Or, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm just trying to have a night in. Like, trying.
Yeah.
Like, it was her being like, I don't want to fight with her about it, but I am annoyed that she's been a shitty friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah.
I think I'm a Hannah in this episode.
Yeah. Really?
And this one, I'm like, it is so lucky that her boyfriend died.
Okay.
It's very much the meme that's like, I don't care that something good happened to you. It should have happened to me instead.
Yeah.
No, it's like, oh my God. It's so funny. It's like the concept of like something crazy happening to a person and they can like leverage it. It's like, well, I wish that could happen to me too. I don't know if I necessarily feel that way all the time, but there definitely is thoughts there.
That's so real of you though. I feel like a lot of us do that. We just pretend that we don't.
Yeah. That was so real. Like, the fact that this episode, she was like, I wish they were dead. It's like, that's constantly what me and my friends are saying. It's like, yeah. I wish I got hit by a bus so I'd have money.
Yes.
You know, like, people are so violent about, like, the imagery at which their life could be better.
Someone broke their pinky the other day on, like, a bike, and they got so much money from a lawsuit. Ugh,
lucky.
And it's like, no, literally so lucky. Or everyone's like, when someone gets like sick and they like lose 10 pounds, you're like, I wish that could be me. Like, yeah. Not sick, but like a stomach bug.
I'm glad I got COVID. I lost 10 pounds.
No, literally.
Yeah. Or like didn't have to go to work or something. Yeah. Like,
one of the luckiest people alive.
Yeah, we all do that. It's crazy. And I appreciate Hannah for being so real in this episode for that. I'm like, okay, girl.
Do you still talk to your preschool friends? If not, why?
No, I have not spoken to them since preschool.
And that, see, Marnie goes, you're a terrible person because you don't talk to your preschool friends anymore.
That was so odd to me.
Why no, preschool? I get that.
Preschool's so early on. It's like, I don't even remember where I lived in preschool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with it.
I'm gonna swallow the mic.
Well, you're so Jewish. Like, you're so.
No. Finish that thought.
You're so Jewish.
You're so Jewish, your mama.
You're so Jewish. Your family has a close community that has known each other since you were born.
You're Jewish?
You know people from when you were younger.
Not her, me.
You're Jewish?
Yeah.
I thought you were Latino. No, I don't have any friends from preschool. I'm fucking
weirdos. That's so funny.
I knew you were going to pose a question like that, and we were going to be like, what?
Oh, I thought people had friends from preschool.
Do you still talk to all your friends from preschool?
Yeah, a lot of them.
A lot of them.
Well, we do Passover together.
Oh, okay.
And then, but I also went to preschool in the city, and then 9/11. I moved to Westchester, and I only talked to one person from that preschool.
Oh, wow.
So the three preschools I went to, I talked to four.
So you don't speak Spanish at all? What is your last name? I just thought you were...
Lazarus is apparently Jewish.
It's in the fucking Bible.
Wait, were you a Christian?
That's so funny.
Yeah, my dad was a pastor. We were Methodists.
I was Methodist, First United.
Oh my God, yes, United Methodist, confirmation and everything. I used to go to camp and everything.
Oh my God, did you ever go to vacation Bible school?
We do every episode. Every episode we're like, we went to camp. No, not you.
We always talk about summer camp.
I
went to so many camps.
Religious summer camp every episode. I hate to do this because it's not you, it's us. We can't talk about camp this episode.
It's okay.
Me and Evan are wearing the same top, by the way.
It's cute.
Amelia wore it better.
We should probably talk about the parts of the episode we like.
Yeah.
What stuck out to you in this episode?
I'm going to eat my shoe.
I'll answer. I honestly, not to always bring it back to Jessa, but I really like how she was like, I can't go back to work for you. I really was like, okay, like, growth girl. Like, she...
When Catherine Hahn walks into Shoshana and Jess's apartment, I gasped.
Yeah.
And I immediately started crying.
Wait, why?
I don't know. I was just very emotional.
Yeah.
By, like, her being like, hey, like, okay, because first of all, when she says, I can't come back, and Catherine's like, well, yeah, I know that. It's like, so why did you go over there?
Yeah.
Because it's like, she didn't really go over there to get her to come back. She gave her there to, like, work it all out. And then she was kind of, like, emotionally dumping on Jessa, like, her whole marriage issues. Mm-hmm. But then was also just like, Jessa, how do you feel about this? Like, it was almost like she was coming to Jessa for comfort.
Well, yeah, coming for comfort. But I also think it's really interesting that you said Jessa's so mature here. But then Catherine Hahn's character is interpreting Jess's whole existence as being immature, even exactly. In this specific moment, as we can see that she is doing something very mature. And I think it's very interesting that I think that always happens when you're always, even when you are improving, people always see you as a lens of something that is probably more holistic, but usually you're more at the tail end of that than more the overall lens, especially in a progress sense. So I think it's very interesting because Jessa is becoming more mature here, and I don't think Catherine Hahn acknowledges that enough.
You ate that. Yeah.
Well, when Catherine's like, I wish I could mother you, and she's like, I don't need your help.
Yeah.
And she's like, you do. And here's why.
Which is why I think was the whole reason she went over there. She didn't go over there to, like, try to get her to get her job back or to make her feel better. She went over there to prove to her that I think that you're a messed up person and I didn't get the chance to tell you. But so now here I am and I'm going to be very passive aggressive and condescending about it. And I really like, people do this all the time. I really think that she wanted her to be in her head, which Jessa was.
No,
she left and
exactly.
She thought about it and she was like, wow, like what the hell? And Catherine won. Like that's what she wanted from her.
Well, Catherine was the kind of woman that would wear a pink pussy hat. We always bring it back to this. But then, like, turn around and, like, not actually support the next woman in line. Like,
I saw that scene at all.
Really?
And it's just, like, this is Amelia's, like, biggest emotional turnaround in the last 6 months. And we're like, actually, she really sucked for that.
No, it was awful. She was very much like, you need help. You need a lot of fixing. I just want to be like a mother to you. God. Be a mother to your own fucking child that you have already. Why do you want to be a mother to me? So when I was watching that, I was like, you're not even a good mother to your child. So you don't want to be a mother to me. You just
do this to my girl. She's freaking out over here.
No, I agree with that. I just think, like, she went over there to get closure on Jessa. And then Jessa played it very, like, there was just, like, a lot of egos at war where she was like, well, I'm not going to come back. And then she was like, oh, you're winning by being less emotional than me about this.
Yeah.
You're seeing me in a very vulnerable place. So I'm going to take you down a peg by saying that you need to be mothered.
Exactly.
So it's very much like they were, like, playing with, like, who's winning, yeah. who's no, winning, it's a and breakup. It ended with Jessa losing.
Exactly.
And Catherine being like, I feel better that my husband wanted to fuck you because you're the worst.
Yep, you're messed up and you need help and I don't. And yeah, she left happy.
Well, when she was like, thank you because you helped me realize a lot of things about my marriage. It was like, period.
Mm. Well, don't you guys think Jessa is the only character we see like lingering emotions compared to like the other girls? There's a like things affect Jessa and you can see them play out episode to episode where you don't necessarily see that for the other girls throughout the show. Like Jessa has
like deep set trauma that's like always popping up in new ways. Whereas like Hannah, it's like a new problem every week.
Yeah.
And Marnie's like pissed about a new thing every week.
No, it's trauma with a little T versus trauma with a big T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Jessa's like always, you can see it in her face. She's always like.
You can see it in her face.
So I love it. She's always thinking. She's always overthinking. And I don't know. It's cool. She's always like in the moment too, which I think is great.
She really listens to Shoshana when Shoshana's talking and is so like listening to her with like this bird's eye view of like, this small child is saying so many crazy things. Like, what does this make me think about in my own life?
Well, she doesn't even say anything, like, so detrimental. Like, she lets Shoshana live out her fantasy.
She very much so picks and chooses, which I like about her. She's like, there's so many things that Shoshana says that means nothing and does not need a response. And I like that sometimes Jess is just like, I'm going out or something. Like, she just sometimes doesn't respond to her when she doesn't need a response because character is like, how do you say her name? I always say it wrong.
Shoshana.
She just wants to talk. Like, she doesn't really need a response. And I think Jess is really good about only responding to things that she really needs to respond to.
I'm such a Shoshana.
It's like the opposite of Hannah. Where like Hannah is like, every word needs to be responded to.
Yes.
But Jess is more of like a listener.
Yeah. Shoshana would be like, okay. As soon as like Jess is like on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite part of this episode is the book signing. Oh my God. Women talking to women. That could be the name of this damn show.
This episode more than ever was about what wasn't said.
Yeah.
Profound. Profound.
It was a lot that wasn't said that was said.
The book signing thing, don't you relate to that? Like, I feel like at this age when you're so insecure about your career, I'm saying this to you guys.
Whoa. Yeah, like,
No, like, I feel like when you're so insecure about, because you don't know what your life is going to necessarily look like, you don't know what you want necessarily, and you just see somebody who looks like they have it all figured out and are the same age as you and are in the same thing that you want to be in, like, is such a painful thing and such a, like, huge reality of, like, this time in our lives. So it's so, like, crazy to watch that book signing and be like, this is such a relatable thing.
Yeah.
It's so personified, I felt like it's so interesting because it does mimic the patterns of, like, I think we interpret a lot of female communication, which is, like, known for passive-aggressive undertones or just undertones in general. And then
the requirement of being, like, polite or, like, performing, like, the pleasantries of, like, a acquaintance relationship while both having these very raw and ugly emotions.
It's not even acquaintance. I think it's frenemies. I think it's the better example here where it's like the fake niceties followed by like undercutting compliments or just comments in general, which is just so funny. Where it's like, I'm having such a good time, but I think I have to go now.
Yeah.
Or it's like, or I have to leave soon. It's like, that's so funny because it is something we all are kind of mimicking in our own patterns of speech. And like,
who's the tally in your life right now?
Yeah, who's
that's a very nuanced question. Now, I just love the word nuance. I'm like, why would bitches be saying that?
It sounds good in the mouth.
Who's it telling in my life? I don't know. I personally don't know. I don't think I have one. I think
it's Esther Fallick.
We're like besties. I want her to win so bad.
Friend of the pod, Esther Fallick.
Our first guest and Rylan are the biggest frenemies. We're coming. No. Yeah. I'd say you guys are close friends with the.
I'm not going to say it, but
we FaceTime a lot.
Yeah.
There are so many comedians that I hate, but I pretend to love. It's actually kind of funny, but it's the niceties. You know, I think
you're
that.
Like, now you're coming around to it.
Yeah, I'm coming around. I think that you're both so right. I feel like it's so easy. Trying to chase this subject quick. I think it's so easy to be like, oh my God, Hannah's an awful person. Like, why would she go to this book release and like do those things? But I'm like, she's so real and true to herself, because we all feel like that. I think we could wish people the best, and I do a lot of the times, and still feel like, damn, like, what is going on in my life? Like, I wish this was me. And yeah, we all have frenemies. And
oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But our frenemies almost crushes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. Every time I like think about someone I hate, I'm like, am I going to sleep with
No, them? Exactly. Frenemies like, feel so them? Much like a crush.
Yeah. Like, why do I hate them so much?
No, it's because you're also right. in love with them.
It's yeah. like, with the, with I'm that Taylor Swift. That. Wait, like, that's that, that Taylor Swift lyric that's like, the opposite of love is indifference.
I don't know Taylor Swift lyrics.
Why did you make it spoken word?
You kind of. Because I don't remember where it's from. But it's so basically crazy. Like people are like, love and hate are the same thing. They're not opposites. Love and indifference are opposites.
Yeah, but it's frenemies. So it's
so frenemies, it's like to hate someone is to care about them.
Well, yeah. I think the thing with when you have a crush on someone, most of the time it's like you approach them with like either such kindness or such resent.
Anger.
Yeah.
I'm just weird. I get very awkward and shy. I did a mic the other day and someone was like, You are kind of awkward, and I was like, I am. And I don't really like know how to not be, and I don't know. I wouldn't have to get into that this podcast, but
that's the whole premise of this show.
Yeah.
I have to lean in for that.
Cheryl I like Sandberg. Love this. So it's like a thing for me.
I thought you did the tablecloth.
The triangle hold. No, we talked about that. The already. Triangle hold is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm
guys,
just like,
if you aren't watching the video version, you should.
Yeah.
Or TikTok.
We'd love if you subscribe to our YouTube channel at HBO Girls Rewatch. If we get 100 subscribers, something good happens according to YouTube guideline suggestions.
I think that's it.
Thanks
for watching.
No,
my
kidding.
Favorite part of the episode was the Hannah and Marnie.
Stop trying to
at
kiss me.
And they're roommates.
The Hannah and Marnie fight, it's just like so relatable to like how me and Evan are, don't you think?
Do you guys fight like that?
I hate to say this, Amelia. I think when she gets on, hopefully when she gets on a ketamine infusion, we can fight like that.
Okay.
But she doesn't have the emotional reserves to fight like that. Okay.
Totally. Somebody posted that they're microdosing ketamine, and I thought I'd check it out. It's only $129 a month.
I'll go with you or something.
Okay,
no,
yeah.
It's life
to
changing.
Do it.
I really want to change my life.
Wait, I want to know why you like that scene so much, though.
Oh, it's because before this television show, girls didn't get to fight on TV unless it was about a boy. Mm. But this scene is them fighting about how they're both unhappy and how they want to blame that on the other person, which is so like when you're an angry 24-year-old, you want someone to blame it on. And of course, you're going to blame it on whoever's next to you.
Yeah.
And it's like they know each other so well. They are so close, but they're pissing each other off. Like Hannah's so insecure about this book thing. And like Marnie's like, it's actually not that bad. And it's actually, you should be happy for your friend. She wrote a book that I like. Like relax, chill, maybe stop being so self-obsessed.
Yeah.
And then Hannah's like, well, you've been so annoying because Charlie broke up with you and now you're insecure and blah, blah, blah. So just the way they go at it and the way they weaponize their words. Because it's like in TV when boys fight, they literally just punch each other and then it's the end of a scene. And you're like, is this what television has to be?
Right.
What if it's girls kind of like throating each other? Is that what it's called?
Throating each other.
Throating?
Huh. I've never used it in that sense.
Where they
use
their throat they weaponize their speech.
My brain is going to work really bad.
I'm like sexualizing.
But I get what you mean though.
Yeah. No, it's a real
thing.
They're
usually
in that's
their
such a good point.
Words as weaponry, and it's so cool to see how they heighten.
Are they an axe?
You're so right.
Weapon, like
weaponized.
The way they
weaponize
their words.
No, I like weaponry. I'm sorry.
And it's like I'm bringing up some like humiliating thing that I know about you from 10 years ago, or like I'm gonna bring up the fact that you're insecure now that you're not in a relationship, or I'm gonna bring up the fact that like this person said like
I didn't fight just, like this
with who?
With my friend, the girl I went to prom with. I mean, now we're friends again, but went to prom together and we lived together in college. And like, we were living in a house of four other people, but we, at just some point, like sometimes when you're so close with someone, there's like friction created in that relationship because it's so easy for you to get on each other's nerves because you know exactly what buttons to push and everything compounds. So it's like, and I also think we weren't having like the right emotional conversations, like checking in on each other, making sure that like we are, because we didn't talk to each other for like 2 months while living in the same house, which is so stressful.
That's crazy.
And like really made me feel so anxious. And we had like, I had three other friends living in the house, and like, it just like always, it felt so political during that time. Because we were all like such a friend group still, and still did stuff together, but still there was like this underlining tension.
Yeah. This was the first episode, y'all, where I felt like I felt like Marnie does not like Hannah.
Yeah, what gave it away?
Like, literally, after this episode and watching further along, I was like, there was always an undertoning feeling of, like, she, like, tolerates her because she's, like, a friend that she's had for a long time.
I think they're both very lonely.
Yeah, I'm like, they don't like each other.
They don't,
like,
really at all. Have much in common.
It's crazy.
But it is that thing where it's, like, your childhood friend, you just, like, kind of are still just... That's so common.
They interloop when it comes to men. I see a lot of like similarities with them about how much they take from men and how willing they are to give themselves to men who like don't appreciate them at all. So totally. Every time like I see them separately dealing with different relationships and different ways that men talk to them, I'm like, they're so similar in that way. Yeah. And it makes me like wonder like why.
Do you think even Adam? When they start officially dating.
Yeah. There was a lot of things. I feel like Hannah would have. There's a lot of things that Adam did where I was like. To Hannah where I was like, okay, I can understand Hannah and Marnie being best friends. By the way, like Marnie got treated by men as well. I'm like. And it's so funny because they both did not like the kind of guys that they dated. That both of them dated. But I was like, they're so similar. But so different. Like Adam.
Totally. They're well, both what, like, did, what do you think Charlie did? Oh, I'm sorry.
I just think.
A lot.
Charlie treated Marnie like a doll. And I think the way that Marnie and Hannah enter a relationship and they're like, this is how a boy should treat me.
Yeah.
Whereas rather than like, this is a person I'm in a relationship with.
Exactly. And then when we get to meet Marnie's parents and our mom and Hannah's parents, it kind of starts to make sense a little bit.
Yeah.
But we have to talk about that on this podcast. But yeah.
The Marnie's mom episode, we got to get you back.
Yeah.
Haley just received a text from her yoga studio.
Oh my God. What? I love yoga. Do you do hot
That's
yoga?
So funny.
I do hot yoga. I just got off the wait list for Inferno Hot Pilates tomorrow at 9 a.m. And I said, yes, I'll be there.
Yes, I love that. We should go. Yeah, I do hot yoga in downtown Brooklyn. We should go. And I spin.
Place?
I can't think of the name of it. I have to show you.
Okay, perfect.
I go How there do you often. Get there? I just take the G.
The A. Okay, we're going.
What's your the time?
It's quote o'clock. Okay, I want to say the quote where Tally's being like, I want to be so skinny that people are worried about me.
Oh, yeah, I wrote it down. I want to be so skinny people think I have a disease.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like a throwaway line of like an overheard conversation at the book party. And it's like, that is almost every conversation.
That's almost every conversation in this town.
My favorite line is at the beginning when Jess is like, your boyfriend should kill himself. You deserve it. And then Hannah's like, well, thank you, but you're just saying that because you love me. It's like, people are, every conversation I have every single day with my friends is that.
Yeah. I kind of love that. I love girls living in like a delusion, and we all do it. And I like when we just support each other in that instead of being like, girl, get it together.
Totally. It's like that's a line that would never happen on the bold type or like younger, but it happens on girls.
I hate it younger. I love Hilary Duff.
I think it's funny because they made that. Okay. Such a side tangent. In Younger, they made the shuffleboard bar so famous because it was the same. They had it on the show the same like week it opened up essentially. Or they filmed there the first week it opened up. And that place is toxic because it's underneath the Gowanus or above the Gowanus Canal. So people go there all the time and you're getting like toxic stuff.
I did not know that.
Aaron Brockovich, we need you. Girl, help us.
I'm sorry. Cut that too.
And I will. Don't worry.
Oh my God.
I love
that. I didn't even finish my quote.
Did you even start one?
Well, I did the fat one.
Oh, I finished it. I'm really stepping on your toes today.
I want hot chocolate.
I like what Marnie said. She captures something really true about the uncertainty of being our age. I cried twice.
I know, that was so funny because it's like, of course, that's what Hannah wants to do. So for her friend to say that is devastating.
Yeah.
And it's like, she didn't even mean it directly to, you know, piss her off.
But I think she did.
But also maybe she did. Yeah. Maybe she knew what she was doing.
Maybe I'm putting too much pressure on the characters, but I'm just like, they know, they're friends. They know what makes their friends tick.
You're right. She absolutely was doing it to piss her off. I just am a Marnie apologist. I'm like, I would never do something like that. Don't say that. And it's like, that's a fake character you're talking about. And the calls for coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
What is your craziest conspiracy theory about the show?
My crazy one probably would be that Lena made them all sign NDAs and they can't talk about her until after a certain amount of years. And I think that in a few more years, we're going to hear some crazy stories about
Lea Michele.
Coded. Shoshana's launching a podcast. So
yeah, Zosia? She would be the one.
Zosha.
She would be the one.
Mammoth?
She would be the one.
Mammoth? I also, this might be crazy, but Jessa is married. Jessa's sister in real life is married to Penn Badgley. So I have to think that.
From Gossip Girl?
Mm-hmm. Her sister in real life is married to Penn Badgley. So I have a conspiracy theory that Penn Badgley is also an awful person.
Oh, I would think so.
That's not a theory.
Oh, people love him.
People do love him.
People love him.
His whole show is about being a bad person.
Well, true. That's kind of hot though. But I just really am like, I just think that anyone super associated with Lena Dunham is like, I just assume that they're like crazy. And so totally. I just have a theory.
Featuring Google.
No, Jemima seems really normal.
I think Zosa seems pretty normal.
Yeah.
Well,
she's the queen of the Nepos. David Mamet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I would say my favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes here is when Hannah finally goes to Grumpy's Cafe. And then Ray's like, this isn't a consumption hospital. We don't wear aprons here. It's like the whole critique of her outfit being like, it's so funny to bring up American Apparel. Like, get those jeans that taper at the end from, you know, American Apparel. It's like, yeah, we are in 2010.
We are.
It's so funny. I forgot about that. I always go to Grumpy's Cafe. So it's like, that's actually really meaningful for me. I'm like, I'm seeing the employees and they're not wearing white there.
They're not wearing white.
On purpose.
White sundresses.
And they're not wearing sweatpants either.
I wouldn't go that far. Okay.
Well, this kind of actually brings us to our last segment of the podcast.
That outfit in Brooklyn.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
One thing I noticed this episode, which is crazy. I didn't know this was a segment, but Hannah's shoes, when she was walking up to like read her poem that she wrote on the train, I was like, wow, look at those clunkers. But like, they were cute. I was like, I kind of would wear those today. I don't know. Like, I really liked them. She was like known for a little heel. Hannah always kind of wore a little heel.
She kind of was like, here's a little heel.
Yeah.
And she's like, here's a nice top. Like, it's poorly fit. It's a weird shape. And she's just like, hey, I'm a girl wearing a top.
I loved it. And like her little walk and all her shoes. I like really liked her. I liked her heels in that episode. I wish I remembered.
The number one song at this time is Somebody That I Used to Know.
Oh,
that is my song
for everyone. Wow.
This was coming out when Glee, the Warblers, and what's his name? Kurt. Kurt was dating the Warbler.
He was so cute.
No, Everything in Our Power is, I'm like, we can't have our next podcast be a Glee rewatch podcast, but everything we do, it keeps linking back. We have no choice. I feel like I'm being born right now.
But what was 2012 was Shoshana being like internet dating.
Oh my god, internet dating?
Oh, yeah.
Like instead of like, I'm on the apps, it's like, I made an internet dating profile. It's like, are we in the 90s? It was very Sex in the City.
Yeah. I lived though. I'm like, wow.
I'm like, well, yeah, I think it's go to Old Navy fashion store. Word.
No, people are always paying for a premium membership so they don't interact with quote unquote weird people.
And I'm like, the weird people are the ones who are paying $8.
Exactly.
I'm like, you're in the West Village. Well, it's like, it's kind of like Raya coded.
Oh, what was so funny was when at the end of the episode, it just shows them slamming their doors and we see the wall of their apartment and there's just like a cross stitch thing that says, you are a badass. And then a giant poster of a slice of cake. There's nothing more 2012 than an apartment that's styled like that. Oh my
God. You have a good eye. I don't even remember that.
Oh.
No, it's
like, I start getting insecure. I'm like, I care too much about interior design. I'm fucking stupid and...
That's so cool.
Well, though. I think the book release party is so funny. Like 2012, books were really a thing in a way they're not now. I guess it's coming back. But
then Take it back.
No.
I love books.
Books are not a thing anymore.
2012.
So we're watching a damn TV show.
Did you guys like this episode?
This was my favorite episode of all the ones we've watched.
Oh, wow.
Is that crazy to say?
I
sense from you that you don't specifically love this one.
I think it was just like a placement episode. I think it was just like an episode to get us to the next chapter and to end the other chapter well, because the other one ended with such chaos.
I mean, it's the episode before the ending of the season.
Yeah.
So it has to set up a lot of things.
Setting up the shifts. Yeah.
And that's like,
they didn't know they're getting season two.
They didn't.
So it could close the show very nicely with this.
Yeah.
Episode 9 is always a dramatic thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree.
Episode 9 is always big. It's always the one right before Christmas break.
You're not always as disappointed by episode 9. Like, 10, there's so many expectations for it, but 9, you don't have expectations. And, you know, the reason we get let down is because we have expectations.
Yeah. It just sets up the story for the season finale.
Somebody said that. Expectations, the root of all heartache.
Who said that? I love that.
Elvis.
I think it
next
was like
tattoo.
Aristotle.
Wow, I love her. Yeah, that was.
Well, this was such a good episode.
This is so fun. Thanks.
Rylan, thanks for coming on. Sorry, we're in a crazy mood today, but
it's okay. Thanks for having
me.
This is great.
Is Jill and Jack?
I love
Humpty Dumpty.
If you're obsessed with Rylan Mills, where can you find her?
At Rylan Mills on everything.
You're talented.
My name is literally R-I-Y-L-A-N. No one else spells it like that. So
yeah, because R-I.
I am the only one, R-I-Y-L-A-N.
This is the best episode of my life. Thanks everyone for listening. Please rate and review us and give us 5 stars. I beg.
Please, please, please. We'll be
it's
back
Amelia's
next.
Birthday just happened. So like give us 5 stars for that reason alone. You can tell that Texas took a lot out of her. So it's like, get something back.
We'll be back next week with season 1 finale.
She went to the Lone Star State, but don't give us 1 Lone Star. Give us 5 of them.
We'll see you next week.
Everything bigger in Texas.
Bye.